I want to say happy Sabbath to everyone. Certainly a privilege to be able to share the good news. We're excited about what God is doing as we drill down and study in today's message. We want to look at my conversion, or you'd say your conversion and your walk, because why God is calling us. He's calling us to be a part of the team that he is building. He's not going to have any dissenters on it. He's not going to have anybody who is there thinking that they're going to do as they feel like doing, run out there and do whatever. No. You know, you have a regular team, a basketball team, a football team, or something like that. And what you find is that there is a coach, and he's not going to put anybody out there who won't listen to him. He's putting together a squad. And so we just want to remind folks of that. You know, he's putting together a squad that is going to execute as the team has practiced. And so, let's see, what am I doing here? Still checking this thing. Happy Sabbath again from Covenant Church of God here in College Park as we discuss the topic, my conversion and my walk. Notice I said my, because I am sharing with you what God has given me. Just like he does it for me, he will do it for you, because what Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he does for one, he will do for all, because he is no respecter of person. And so he calls us to be a part of this work that he is doing. What is that work again? It's the preparation for the coming kingdom of God. Now, folks, this is a full-time operation. I know people are there trying to fit God into their schedule, not realizing it should be the other way around. They should fit their schedule into what God is doing. So I was pointing out, ladies and gentlemen, that world events are unfolding at an ever-increasing pace. Now, how can we say that? Because we know what the prophecy says. That's how we know. And as we have a sure word of prophecy, we are not left in the dark. We're supposed to be aware of what God desires for us to do. Now, as we go in and out daily, we need to make choices. He has put before us life and death, blessings and cursings, and it is up to us to make the wise choice and choose life. He says, choose life so that you and your descendants may live. Now, all you have to do is look around the world, and you begin to see most of the world are choosing death. They are not going in the direction of the teachings of the Bible. Consequently, they are going to reap what they have sown. Now, the Bible gives a way to live. As I said, the world has a contrary system, which is now clear. It clearly indicates that it does not work. How do I know that? Because they're not satisfied with what they're doing. So in this lesson, we're going to explore some attributes mandatory to our conversion and our walk. Remember now, you're supposed to be converting. As I said, you're supposed to be smarter this week, spiritually speaking, than you were last week. You're supposed to be more knowledgeable about what God desires for you to do this week than you were last week, and certainly more than a year ago. Now, if you're going in the other direction, you're regressing, you're on your way. I'm not going to say to the lake of fire, but you're not going to be in the kingdom. Not when Jesus returns, I can guarantee that. It's only to those who overcome, not for everybody. It's for those who overcome, for those who decide they're going to abandon this system, for those who decide that they're not going to be a part of this world's way. That is what he expects from us. And perfection is... yes, that is what is expected. Be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Perfection is the goal. So we're going to explore, ladies and gentlemen, attributes mandatory to our conversion and our walk. Now, I want to begin by regular devotion. One of the things that you and I need, not just when we come to services collectively, but we need to have our own diversion. Now, folks, let me explain something to you. I am talking about people who are serious about the kingdom of God and want to walk in power. I now talk about people who are trying to escape the hellfire. I'm not preaching fire escape. I am talking about people who are going to live for Jesus now, this side of the kingdom, who are serious about walking with him. If you're not serious, then go on about your business. Man, I have nothing to say to you. I'm sorry, I can't help you. I'm only here to talk to people who are dead serious about following the kingdom of God, following Jesus, following his spirit, doing those things. And so what I am saying now, the first thing here is regular devotion. You need to set up your own schedule when you're going to meet with the Lord. How long you're going to meet with him? I won't set that time for you. You have to work it out with him. If you look at the people who walk in power in the scriptures, every one of them have regular devotion with the Lord. You wonder why the church is so broken, backward, and don't have any knowledge and no power? That's why, because they're not walking with him. That's why. And the Lord says, probation is up. That's what he said this morning. Probation is up. He's fed up. Those are my words. He didn't use those words. What he said was that he's through with dealing with people who are lingering, pretending that they are with him when they're not. In the book of Daniel, the 6th chapter, I want to give you an example of what I'm talking about, so you begin to see how this thing works. You know, some years ago, I asked the Lord, if you ever give me an opportunity to teach, I want to make sure I teach things so that the people can understand, that they can give me enough information. And so he has been so very generous. But what you find in the book of Daniel, the 6th chapter, is that there were some other people serving with Daniel. Yes, they lived in the same kingdom, but they didn't like Daniel because he served God. Just like a lot of people don't like us because we are not like them. We're not hanging with the crowd. We're not running with a whole heap of people. And so folks decide, well, you know, we're not too fond of them. As I said, I'm the preacher the devil keep telling you don't listen to. Why? Because you're going to hear things that's going to destroy what his plans are, and he don't want that. So anyway, Daniel was here doing the very things that God has directed him to do. And it says the presidents and princes, Daniel chapter 6, verse 4, the presidents and princes sought to find an occasion against Daniel, and so they taught the king into setting up a rule where nobody else can pray to any other god for a certain period of time other than the king. Of course, king is not God, but he didn't know that. And so they passed the decree. Well, folks, they're going to pass some decrees right here in America. They have already passed some of them in Canada. They are doing it in England. They're doing it in Australia, New Zealand. A lot of people are losing their mind. They're doing very foolish things contrary to the Bible, somehow believing that God is going to just get them a bye. No, it won't. And so they passed that decree back in Daniel's day. Folks, what you and I are going through and are going to go through is nothing new. Verse 9, Darius the king signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his window being open, he didn't close it and try to hide. You know, you have closet Christians these days. You have to fast and pray to figure out if they're Christians, because otherwise you wouldn't be able to tell. Those are the people who are not doing anything for the kingdom. What a shame. Well, Daniel didn't hide. He opened his windows like he has always done. And he turned, you know, his opened his windows toward Jerusalem, and he knelt up on his knee 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime, it says in verse 10, just like he has always done. Is there repercussions for that? Yes, they caught him. Was he trying to hide? No. Are people looking at us? Yes. Should they find us guilty of being a servant of Most High God? Yes. That's how it works, folks. Let me tell you something. You're wasting your time. You're not going to walk in power if you're not going to do this. So I'm telling you, here it is. He's doing 3 times a day. What was he doing? Devotions. Now, you don't have to do it 3 times a day. I don't know how many you do. You know, I have certain times I set aside, and I have made a decision this coming year, or I should say this year, because I already started. I am going to serve the Lord. Michael? Son? Okay. I made a decision that, just asking to cut something here. But the point is that I'm going to meet certain time with the Lord. Why? Because I want to build up my spirit, man. The challenges that I face this year are much bigger than I am. I can't handle them by myself. I need God. So I want to be a vessel that he can use. No. I don't want to just go through the process. Yes, I know my name is in the book of life. That's right. But there's more work for me to do this side of the kingdom, and I want to be a ready conduit so he can flow through me. So that's why I set aside these times. You're going to go look over these things, and you just pick out of this list things that you need to do, things that you may have already been doing, and you modify it, and you keep going on. This is not a complete list. There are other things there. I just thought I'd be able to cover this in the period of time I have today. So I'm saying to you, we're going to have regular devotion, and you want to make sure you do that. Why? Because you want to stay focused on Jesus. Until you learn to commit your day to him, you're not going to do much for him. You have to commit things to him, and then he will give you the proceeds from it and the extras. All right, so the first thing is regular devotion. Secondly, you want a regular prayer. In other words, you're going to set up your life so that you pray about things of God. Pray. Ask the Lord. What is prayer? You're asking him to intervene in the affairs of men to alter things. So it says, pray without ceasing. You read that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And verse 17, he's encouraging the brethren, the Apostle Paul, that is, telling people to do these things. And one of them is what? To pray without ceasing. In other words, everything you're going to pray about, don't leave it to chance. I know the expression, yes, I got this. Well, I'm trying to explain to you. You want to abandon that viewpoint and make sure not you got it, but God got it. Because if he don't get it, you can have it all you want. It ain't going to work. So what I am saying then is you're going to commit yourself to prayer. What it says elsewhere, you go into your closet. You don't have to tell everybody what you're going to pray about. But you go in there and you shut the door. And you're going to pray and ask God to intervene in the affairs of men. You are the instrument on planet Earth. And you want him now to intercede, to interrupt the plans of the enemy. And he has a lot of plans. And you want, therefore, now things to work out the way God expects it to. And so you're going to pray that his kingdom come in that particular situation, whatever it is you bring to him. Pray that your kingdom come and that his will be done in the earth as it is being done in heaven. God's will is being done in heaven. Now, Satan has no say-so in the heaven. Remember, he was kicked out. Jesus said he saw him fall like lightning. Well, he was kicked out. So God's will is always being done there, but it's not being done on planet Earth. Let me digress for a minute and mention something. If you ever get an opportunity to see in the spirit realm, it looks just the same like it is in the physical. When you see people, you saw somebody come in, you know, wearing, you know, what I call a color shirt or pants and so on. My point is that you can see them. Well, you can see things same way in the spirit realm. And is as if they go through the process. And then in the physical, now we do the same thing. We just copy what they do. I'm going to have to teach you on this one day. But that's how it works. So they see all that first in the spirit realm. That's why you can see things in the spirit realm and they don't materialize in the physical. because they can, it's like an override. You know, when we send the broadcast I'm sending out now, there is a delay. Those who are hearing me now, what you just heard me say this minute, I actually said about 30 seconds ago. And then it actually come to you. I don't remember how many seconds we have delay, but my point is that there is a delay. Now, suppose that I don't like what is going, and I could just put a button, press a button, and it doesn't go. That's how it work. Well, it's the same thing. God don't want certain things to happen. He can just press a button and so abort that stuff spiritually, and they have to do it over again. The angels, that is. So that's how it works. I just tried to digress, and that was not in my notes. But I'm just trying to explain to you how it works. So I am saying to you now, number one, we're going to have regular devotion. Secondly, we're going to pray without ceasing. You remember the Daniel devoted himself to fasting and prayer, and after 21 days, an angel showed up. What happened if he had stopped at the day 17? Remember, the angels now, they work according to what how we pray and what we do. Well, the angels wouldn't have showed up. As a matter of fact, there was a demon spirit trying to hinder that angel. And for 21 days, they were battling, fighting it out. Daniel was there fasting and praying, not realizing what was going on. Notice he said, no, fasting and praying. Daniel chapter 9, you can read it. But the point is that he persists and God came through on his behalf. I want you to know it worked because we're going to work with him. That's my conversion and my walk. So this is a part of it. We're going to pray without ceasing. We're going to continue to devote ourselves then to prayer along that line. All right. Third thing, ladies and gentlemen, that I would like for us to understand that we need to do if we are going to continue our conversion process and walking with the Lord, because you have a lot of folks, you know, they're hearing about God, but they're not doing what God says. Oh, yes, they're doing a thing, but they're not doing following God's instruction. See, a lot of people don't understand this. And somehow they believe because they have a confused view that somehow because they have attached his name to it, that God is going to do it. I am telling you, they are on their own, but they just don't know. They're on their own, but they just don't know. Now, what I'm trying to share with you, ladies and gentlemen, is a third thing that we need to do. A third thing that we need to do with regards to developing the attributes mandatory. Notice I said mandatory if you're going to walk in power. Now, folks, I'm serious about this. I'm serious. I'm not wasting time with people this year. We need to meditate on a regular basis. That includes singing. Meditate. I want us to look at Psalm 119 just for a minute. Psalm 119. And verse 97. Psalm 119 and verse 97. This is what it says. Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. It is my meditation all the day, not just sometime, all the time. It is my meditation all the time. Oh, love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Though thy commandments has made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. So what I am trying to share with you, ladies and gentlemen, is this. We need to get it clear in our mind that we need to be meditating on the things of God. Why is that necessary? Because when we read it, we don't always get it the first time. We don't get it the first time, ladies and gentlemen. And so don't assume that you get it the first time you read it. That is why we're constantly becoming what? Students of the Bible. We're going to continue to study on a regular basis. Folks, listen. There are a lot of churches all over the place. A lot of churches. But I read in the book of Jeremiah, the 50th chapter and verse 6, where God says their shepherds have caused them to go astray. Why is he saying that? Because the ministers who preach in God's name are really misleading the people. They're putting them to sleep. They're not encouraging them to walk in power. They're not showing them the things of God. And as a result, a lot of people are going to be in a lot of trouble down the road. Not just here in America, worldwide. See, people think it's just going to be America who suffer. No. Yes, we're going to suffer a lot because of our pride. That's true. But other people are going to suffer too. Because the ministers are preaching a half-truth that is not enough to come up against the devil. And so the people are going to be misled. And the Bible says God comes back and he's assessing things on earth. And he says their shepherds have caused them to go astray. Jeremiah chapter 50 verse 6. This is God's assessment, not mine. Are you going astray? You don't want that. I want to make sure I do what I'm supposed to do so I don't mislead anyone or fall short of my responsibility. So I'm saying to you, we're going to meditate on these things. Let's look at the very first psalm. I want to give a little bit more substance to what I am saying because I want to make sure you get hold of this, ladies and gentlemen. If you are serious about walking in power, because God is no respecter of persons, he go about confirming his words through signs and wonders for those who believe. He says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. That man is blessed. Why? Because he don't do those negative things. Verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Law there means teaching. And in that teachings or law, does he meditate day and night? In other words, all the time. So you hear me telling you that you need to do these things all the time. That's what I'm trying to convey to you. I want you to get it clear in your spirit that it's going to be all the time. All the time. All the time, not sometimes, all the time. We need to make sure we get it clear that that is how we should live. All the time we're going to do these things. Are you with me now, ladies and gentlemen? All the time. And so you make up your mind, that's what I am going to do. Now, I want to go ahead and touching another example here. Here in the book of 2 Kings, okay, let me see. I want to make sure, let me check this thing out properly because I want to make sure I give you one more example of this meditation that I am talking about. One more example. All right. 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse 15. Here it is, these people, they came to the man of God and Elisha said unto the king of Israel, what have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of your father and to the prophets of your mother And the king of Israel said unto him, No, for the Lord had called you these three kings together to deliver them unto the hand of Moab. So what they're doing is they're coming to find out whether or not they should go to war and what's going to happen. And verse 14 said, And Elisha said, As the Lord host of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I wouldn't even look at you. He says, I wouldn't even talk to you if it wasn't the other king there. But notice what he did in verse 15. Pay attention. There is a key here. Verse 15. But now he's speaking to his assistant. The scene switched there. So he said to his assistant, bring me a minstrel. What does that mean? I want you to start singing. Bring me the minstrel. And it came to pass, when the minstrel played, that the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha. Now, what am I saying? The moment he starts to worship God, the power comes. You will never see anybody walk in power who don't learn to sing before God. All those people who come to service and don't want to sing, they're wasting their time. They will never see the hand of God. They will never walk in power. Yes, they'll get crumbs. But the real thing? Oh, no, you won't. I'm going to tell you why. Look at Psalm 100. Just look at Psalm 100, because a lot of people think they can outsmart God. There is no wisdom or counsel against God. We need to get it through our head. God is king, and only his way work. Look at what it says. Know ye, that's verse 3 of Psalm 100. Know ye that the Lord is God. It is he that made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Listen, you can read the rest. Enter into his presence with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. You go in there to ask him a favor, you make a request, or even tell him how much you love him. You're going to better go with singing. He will not let you in otherwise. Because when you start to sing, you position yourself to receive from the Lord and communicate with him on a different plane, a spiritual plane, so to speak. Let me say that again. For those people who are being hard-headed, I am telling you, there is no other way to go into the presence of the Lord without singing and get his acceptance. That's it. We need to start practicing this. Years ago, my pastor said to me, Marcus, you know, when you're in the shower, practice singing. He never did get the details. He just said that, practice singing. It'll help you. Later on, I realized what he was talking about. We have to practice singing, coming into his presence with thanksgiving. When people start to sing, have you noticed even little kids? What do you notice when they start, they get happy, they start to sing. They start to give praise. Enter into his courts with thanksgiving and into his presence with praise. Into his courts with praise. People not getting it. We need to do these things as we meditate on the word of God. We need to practice these simple attributes. They may look simple, but they're very profound. What else are we supposed to do, ladies and gentlemen? Fast. Fast. What does that mean? You're going to do without food and water. Now, you have a few people who have medical conditions and they say they cannot do so long. What I find is that those who start doing it, after a while, they're going to find that the medical condition go away. But in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16, he says, Moreover, when you fast, He's not asking if you should fast. He's telling you that you're going to fast. When you fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. In other words, you don't have to tell anybody. That's between you and God. People are married, yes, you can. But other than that, nobody else. Private matter between you and God. I don't want to know. So I'm fasting. I'm sorry. I don't want to hear it. I tell them that. I'm not being harsh. It's between you and God. Verse 17. But you, Beda, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that you may appear unto men to fast, not unto men to fast, but unto your Father which is in secret, and your Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So the point here is this: dress yourself appropriately, take your shower, do whatever it is you need to do, and just conduct yourself just like regular operation. And you're going to find, ladies and gentlemen, that over time you'll be able to practice doing this. But the point is this: more so, you're going to start to hear from God that way. Let me tell you something. For those people who are struggling more than a year can get from God, that's the time for people to start to fast. People, let me tell you something. It don't take more than a year for God to turn stuff around for anybody. As a matter of fact, it don't take that long. But if you complete the full cycle the way he set things up, within a year, you should see a breakthrough. He said, well, I don't see any. Well, that's why you had a touch with him. Start off with either the fast and prayer combination. It's up to you. But you get the idea. In Isaiah, the 58th chapter, just in case we miss it, God is making us, declaration. And in verse 6, he says, is not this the fast that I have chosen? In other words, the point is that people are going fast physically now and miss the spiritual meat that is supposed to be associated with it. So he said, is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke? Notice that now, when you start to fast, what are you doing? You're breaking down heavy yoke. You're breaking down the bondages and stuff like that. That's what he's saying. Verse 7, is not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that you bring the poor, that you bring the poor that are cast out to your house. When you see the naked and cover him, and thou hide out not thyself from thine own flesh, in other words, be participating, continue. Verse 9, then shall your light shall break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. When you fast, what's going to be your glory, the reward? The glory of the Lord. Do you realize what he's saying? Whenever the glory appear, ladies and gentlemen, nothing can stand before it. Nothing. When the glory of the Lord comes, whoever need healing, get it. When the glory of the Lord comes, whoever need whatever prayer request, it answers. When the glory of the Lord comes, no one get defeated. That's what he's saying. Why are people not getting these things? They're not doing what they're supposed to do, and in this case, fasting. You want to develop attitude, all right? So regular devotion, regular prayer, include singing and meditation, and now we just covered fasting. Well, what else should we do, ladies and gentlemen, as we press forward to in our study of the things of God to build ourselves up? We need personal Bible study. We need to practice. Set aside time. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. How are you going to get that word? You're going to have to read it. You're going to have to study it, meditate on it, as I was saying earlier. Apply it. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, Paul, the apostle, was training this young man, Timothy, and he gave him some sound advice. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, he says, study to show yourself approved. Are you approved of God? How do you know? You see any results? Did you make any request and you see it comes true? Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman workman that need not be ashamed. Because when they look at what you have done, they can see that you have been with God. If somebody come and say, pray for me, and I say, well, why? We notice you get answers. Well, they see that you have been with God. Study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, but correctly or rightly, as it says in the King James, dividing the word of truth. In other words, appropriately using the word of God, that is. So you study, so you become knowledgeable of the things of God. What does the Bible say in Malachi? The priest's lips must have knowledge. You know we're called to be kings and priests. Well, you must have knowledge. Where are you going to get it? Study. Study. In Isaiah, the fourth chapter, we see the end result of folks who missed that teaching. They did not get an understanding. Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They're not studying. Because you have rejected knowledge, this is God speaking, I will also reject you, and you shall be no priest to me. Remember I said we're supposed to be kings and priests? We're supposed to be uttering the words of God and teaching people the way of God by our lifestyle and also what we say. Seeing that you have forsaken the law of God. When you don't study, you're forsaking the teachings of God, the law of God. And he says, I will also forget your children. Are you telling me that God is going to cause your children to suffer because you neglect him? Well, that's the end result of what you're doing. There are certain countries, you don't have to call no names, where the kids are suffering. They're not even old enough to sin. But yet they're suffering. Why? Because their parents have neglected God. Somewhere along the line, they neglect God. You want your children to prosper? You better make sure you study the Bible. Pay attention. The children of the righteous will walk on the high places. That is the heritage of the Lord. The children of those who serve God are going to receive the blessings that God promised. But when people won't study, they neglect it, and they also bring down that curse on their children also. In the Matthew, the 25th chapter, we here see additional information along this line. Let's touch on it. Matthew chapter 25. And let's see, in verse 41, this is what it says. Then shall you say unto them that are left behind, on those on the left hand rather, depart from me, you cursed, unto everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So these people are going to depart. Why? Because they did not find out what it is they were supposed to do for God. They did not do what they were supposed to do for God. I think there's another scripture that's more fit here. But you get the idea. What I'm saying to you is, you need personal study. Otherwise, you're not going to be equipped You must be prepared to do the things of God. You're not going to be equipped otherwise. What did he say to those people who were not preparing themselves again? Verse 41 to verse 25, chapter 25, Matthew. Then shall he say unto those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, unto everlasting fire, prepared for the devils of the angels. So they didn't prepare themselves. They didn't accept what God said. They didn't do what they were supposed to do. They somehow believed in that. Well, let's wing it. Winging it, by the way, is an expression they have here in Georgia. I think it's really in America overall. But it is that we can just do the bare minimum and somehow reap the best. It doesn't work like that in real life. So don't think you're going to wing it. And definitely doesn't work with God. Now, what else should we do, ladies and gentlemen? Well, you and I then need to be reminded of the fact that we are supposed to be personally evangelizing on a regular basis. That is our lot, you know. How do I know that? Well, look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13. What does he say? Chapter 5, rather. Chapter 5, verse 13 says, you are the salt of the earth. That's Matthew chapter 5. You are the salt of the earth. What does that mean? What is salt? Salt is what gives it flavor. You get food without salt, yuck. It's a bland. You want some, character about it. So he says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. In other words, just throw it out on the dirt. If the salt doesn't have the saltiness that it is what it's supposed to provide, you may as well just throw it away. That's what he's saying here. We are supposed to be that salt. Verse 14. You are the light of the world. We must have our life living in such a way that we are the light of the world. Can people tell you're a Sabbatarian just by the way you live? Can folks observe you? Because, I spoke to this gentleman. Well, he no longer lives in this area. But he noticed. He said, I talked to him one day and I said, well, you might want to join us. We have services every Sabbath. He said, I've been wondering about you. I've been observing it. I told my wife, you guys got to be having a service there. He was watching us. Now, he never did attend, but he paid close attention. I'm telling you, if you don't think people are watching you, you're mistaken. We are the light of the world. That is the way God has set it up, that we are the light. We are the ones who are going to be the example to others that other people see. We're like a city that is up on a hill. When you look up there, you can see it. The city on a hill. You can't hide it. It's up on the hill. When you put a light on a candlestick in the room, other people are going to get light from it. You can't hide it. Do you cover it over with a book? No, it's going to go out. And the candlestick, it gives light onto everyone that is in the room. When you are doing what God says, it will give light to others who listen and who observe you and do watch what you're doing. And so as a result, then he gives us an admonition in verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Are you doing works? Yes, good works. And as a result, then they're going to glorify your Father, which is in heaven. We must be evangelizing, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to make our light shine. You can't run away from everybody and don't want to talk to nobody else and don't want to share. No, that doesn't make sense. God not calling us to be runners. He's calling us to be a light to the world. Look at First Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. It says, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. You know what sanctify means? You set apart for a holy purpose. Does God mean that much to you? Where you start to think about God in such a way that he holds a special place in your heart. You know, there used to be a time when folks used to say, well, the Bible say, and somebody will say, let me see it. And the argument is over. The moment you show them the Bible, they look at it and say, yes, I accept that. Not today. People are willing to argue now. But there was a time, I remember as a little boy, people used to, you said the Bible say, and everybody stop arguing. They stop. Now, folks are disciplined, so they go look to make sure what they're saying is true before they actually blurt out that. You don't want to be a rabble rouser, you know. You're going to be one of those who are constantly sharing the things of God. And so he says, sanctify therefore the Lord in your heart and be ready always to give an answer, not sometime. Always ready to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that you that is in you with meekness and fear. Now the translation says with respect. So you respectfully answer the people when they're asking, because some people can be snotty, you know. So you learn, ask God, give me an answer. For these people to explain my position to them and get across to them. Pray for them that they will come to their senses. If God is not willing that any should perish, you neither should you. So you're going to pray that they come to their senses, that they turn from their ways. There are too many people who are masquerading as Christians. We don't want that. You must be ready to give an answer. You must be an evangelist in heart, telling people about God. Who are the people you come in contact with that you're hiding away from and won't tell them about Jesus? You're not helping yourself when you do that, you know. You're certainly not helping them. It's necessary that we do these things, ladies and gentlemen. We need to do right. Let's take it a step further. Are you a supporter of the work of God? Do you believe in the work that God is doing enough to support it? Do you pray for the work? You know, we read, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he send more people to help. Are you helping with the work of God? Do you give tithes and offerings to the work of God? Let's look at Malachi chapter 3. There's a promise there, and I see where people are losing out because they misunderstand what their role should be. So just in case you get it all wrong, let's clarify that today. Look at Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. You know what a tithe is? It's 10% of the increase that God gives you. You give that to what? The work of the Lord. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And by you doing so, you're proving, here it says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You know, some years ago when I read this, I said, I'm going to take to God up on this. I'm going to prove it. That same month, I got an increase. Now, I'm not saying it's going to work that way for everybody. But I'm telling you, my experience, that's what happened. And he continued like that for about 7, 8 months. I mean, as a matter of fact, throughout the years, we just constantly increase. I remember 1 year, because they normally give $600 per year. They give you, back then they give you the year increase by year, $600. Well, I got 13,000. They reclassify me and give me 13,000. And a gentleman said to me, "This must be your third tied year." And when I looked, check it out, he was right. Now, that's a different story. We'll talk more about that. But I'm saying to you, a lot of people are missing out, you know, they don't realize it. So I'm saying, do you support the work of God? See, a lot of people don't get it, you know. Look at verse 8, where God is talking about the folks who were at the time, and people are still doing that today. You wonder why the country is broke and there is so much debt and bankruptcy? That's because they're robbing God. Look at what he says in verse 8. "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me." Yes, you say, "Wherein have we robbed you?" They're arguing back with God, you know. "Oh, I mean, what do you mean you rob him?" And he says, "In tithes and offering." The nation is robbing God in tithes and offering. And as a result, ladies and gentlemen, that's why we have so much sickness and disease and curse and financial calamity in the country. You pray, put God first. Look, put God first and see what he does. I put him to the test time and time again, folks. Set things up for me to lose out, and God turn it around, and I end up thousands ahead. I am saying to you, put him to the test. Will you rob God, or will you let God bless you and pour you out a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive it? I suspect you want to choose the latter, where you receive the blessing. So you're going to support the work of God. Continue, ladies and gentlemen. What else are we supposed to be doing as Christians, as children of the Most High God? What else are we supposed to be doing? In the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, I wanted to look at verse 22. He said, "Let us draw near. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith." In other words, you believe that God is going to do it. "Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." You remember they used to be washing and sprinkling taking place under the old covenant? Well, he's using a play on words. It means that you're going to purify them. They're going to get clean. So verse 23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith." What do you believe? I said, earlier I said that, asking, what do you really believe? Well, I believe God is going to bless me big time. I believe God is going to open doors before me. I believe God wants me to go out and preach his word. I'm going to do it. "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Yes, he's promising. I just told you. You want the windows of heaven open before you? Well, give him his tithe. Verse 24. "Let us consider one another to provoke," in other words, encourage them unto love and to good works. So let's encourage one another along that line. And notice now, "not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is." There are some people, you know, who are not getting it. They come, they do just the bare minimum. For assembling together, people don't realize the magnitude of what that is saying. Let's spend some time and look at it. He said, "Don't forsake the assembling together of yourself together as the manner of some is, but encourage one another, and much more so as you see the coming of Jesus Christ. He's taking that day approaching, that the coming of Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about. Make sure we're doing it. Are you fellowshipping folks like you're supposed to, where God tell you to work? Where he assigned you, or you just decide you're going to just fellowship where you want? In Hebrews chapter 12, let's pick it up, verse 12, chapter 12, and verse 22. Because a lot of people don't realize the magnitude. I want you to get this. We are, when we assemble together, we're not just like ordinary people, you know. We got extraordinary ability around us. You're come unto Mount Zion, spiritually speaking, unto the city of God. If you go to the city of God, what happened to the city of God? Everybody who go there get what? Blessed. That's right. Everybody go there, things get corrected. Everybody go there, things set in order. So when you come together, that's what happened. You're like at a spiritual city of God, a heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Well, folks, well, I want to be around an angel. I'm telling you, when you come together like that, you're coming around an innumerable number of angels. You're coming to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn. That's what you're doing when you come to fellowship. This thing is recorded in heaven, you know. The God of heaven, the judge, they're bearing witness. And so when you come into that presence, the blessings are endless. The presence are endless. Why? Because you choose to fellowship where God say you should go. What happened to the people who decide I'm going to fellowship wherever I want to go? A lot of people are doing that these days. They're coming up short. They're coming up empty. Things are not working out for them. They're wondering what is happening. I am telling you, if people don't get it through their head that they need to go where God said they should go, they're going to miss out. For years, people have been inviting me. You need to go here. You need to go there. No, no, no. Unless God said I must go, I will not. I am sorry. You want to go? Go on. I am telling you, I'm going where God says I must go, because that's where my provision is. I want to mention, ladies and gentlemen, because so far we've covered 8 things. One more. We need to do regular devotion. We need regular prayer over things. We need to include singing and meditation in our process, ladies and gentlemen. In addition, we need to fast regularly. We need personal Bible study. We need to be involved in evangelism directly, personally. We need support God's work physically and financially. We want a fellowship where God said we should assign, we are assigned. In other words, here it is, you prepare food for you, you don't come there because you've gone somewhere else. And finally, ladies and gentlemen, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, just in case somebody misses out, he's going to share some more information telling us, regardless of what you have, no matter how much you think you have, if you miss this one thing, you're missing out. What is he talking about? He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not love or charity, I am just like a sounding brass or a tinkering cymbal. You're just like a empty drum. You're making a lot of noise. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and I understand it all mysteries. A lot of people are priding themselves on how much they know the Bible and how much they understand prophecy and so on. Well, he said, even though you understand all that and you have all knowledge, if you have all the faith that people could garner, so that you can remove Stone Mountain or any other mountain. Just say, hey, be removed, and it just obey you. Even you can do all that. Work miracles, in other words. If you don't have the love of God, you're nothing. You need the love of God. No, you can't manufacture that, ladies and gentlemen. That comes naturally. It's an outflow of you following the leading of the Spirit. The love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit, we read in Romans. It is not going to just happen just like that. It happens as a result of you following God. The love of God, charity, suffers long and is kind. It does not envy, does not brag or show off itself. It's not puffed up. Do not behave itself unseemly, seeking not its own, nor easily provoked, thinking no evil. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth, bearing all things. And it goes on, ladies and gentlemen, read that chapter and find out what it is that the person who is going to be filled with the Spirit, how they are supposed to be operating with the love of God. Folks, I've given you 9 attributes that you want to cultivate and want to encourage as you go through the conversion process. We're going through this together, you and I. Yes, I'm being converted more and more every day. I encourage you to follow him. So you are converted more and more every day. What are those attributes again? Let's mention them quickly. Regular devotion, regular prayer, singing in your meditating on the Word of God, fasting on a regular basis, personal Bible study, personal evangelism, supporting God's work, fellowshipping where God has assigned you, and finally, displaying the love of God, or letting your love shine, or let God shine through you, if you would allow him. Those are just some basic attributes, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lot more that we can talk about, but you get the idea. And I want you to make sure during these challenging times that you continue to prepare yourself, because the Bible teaches us that we should pray that we may escape the confusion, the destruction that is coming upon the earth. And it's coming quickly. They're going to start. You remember the last world war, it ends with an atomic bomb being dropped on Hiroshima. The last world war. Well, I'm telling you something. The next world war is going to start with atomic bombs being dropped. We'll talk some of the time. We have to use wisdom, but it's going to happen to certain countries. It's going to start with it, not end with it. Start. When it is over, very few people are going to be alive on the earth. Very few people. I said it's going to start with nuclear weapons. If Jesus had waited one more day, no flesh would be saved alive. Because of the elect's sake, those days are going to be shortened. Read that Matthew 24, verse 21 to 22. Matthew chapter 24. So Jesus is going to have to come and stop this. Otherwise, no flesh would be saved alive. I am saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in these times. It's countdown towards the tribulation, whether we like it or not. That's how it is. We're not the ones causing it, but we have a responsibility to be a light even while things are deteriorating like this. And so we're going to accept the call and do our job. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you in the next lesson.